Sylvia. Good morning. We're in a series called Victory, and I'm going to continue that series today. Pastor Tim, our lead pastor, is off this weekend. He will be back next weekend. He's been off for a couple weeks for a summer break and also some ministry. And so if you don't enjoy the message today, never fear, the old man will be back next week. And so it'll be good. It'll be good. You'll get a good dose. But before he left, we started this series called Victory, and we're talking about how you are designed as a believer in Jesus Christ to live in victory and not in defeat. God wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be victorious in your relationships. He wants you to be victorious over habitual patterns in your life. He wants you to be victorious in every arena. But the only way that we are going to see victory is if we participate and cooperate with God and what he wants to do in and through us. And so Pastor Tim started the series talking about victory over the enemy and how we have an enemy and who he is. And then Jeff talked about victory over death. And how Jesus has won the victory over death. That's why we don't have to fear death anymore, because we have full life in Jesus Christ, not only today, but after we die physically, there's an eternal life that awaits us. I talked about victory over the spirit of the world and how we are supposed to live in this world. Last week, Pastor Roger just spoke to us so wonderfully about victory over pride. And if you missed any of those, I just want to encourage you. You can listen to those online. You can watch the videos, or you can podcast them. You can grab the CDs. Because it really is an important series for us. We want to encourage you to feed yourself in that. Today I'm going to continue the series and talk about victory over the flesh. And I want to give you some handles and some strategies for how we can think about this battle that we're in an ongoing basis all the time, because we live in the flesh, or we live in a body. Everybody here this morning has a body. You're stuck in one of these things. And you might like it, you may not like it. You might be tall, you might be short, all different shapes and sizes, all different colors here this morning, but you've got a body. You have flesh. And we know that our flesh, because of the fallen state of the world, because sin is in the world, when Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered the world, it corrupted everything within the world. And now we deal with this sin nature that is really part of this flesh thing that we are stuck in. And so I want to talk today about how you can have victory over the flesh and over these areas in your life. And so if you, this morning, as you came in the door, you just feel defeated. You feel defeated because you're dealing with those same habitual patterns that you've dealt with before, and you keep messing up in the same way, and you're like, I know this is destructive for my life. I know it's destructive for my family, for me personally, and yet you're still stuck in those, as we have called them, terminal tendencies that just, they're so habitually ingrained within you, you can't get over them. You need victory in that area today. Or maybe there's things within your family life and your relationships, and you're living defeated because you have been unable to get control of your tongue and able to get control of yourself. Then you need to hear this morning. There are some strategies that we can use to help us to overcome. There's good things that you want to do, and maybe you're defeated in that because you just can't seem to get over the hump. Well, look with me at Romans chapter 13. It's at the top of your outline as you came in. It's written up there. It'll also be on the screen. And there will be a couple of notes, and I encourage you to take notes this morning. For those of you that like to take notes, we certainly would encourage you to do that. Whenever you write things down, it helps you remember them so much better and sort of seals things inside of you. There also, if you have your smartphone device and you don't believe in paper and pen and pencil, then you can look the outline up on our app. It's the Bible app. It's the YouVersion app, and you can find that there in the live section. So look there at the top, Romans chapter 13. It says this: rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Clothe yourselves. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, how this actually this process of putting on Jesus every day that we have to go through. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Your flesh has desires. Your body has desires. They're actually appetites. And I gave you a definition here. What are the desires of the flesh? And you can look there in Galatians. There's actually a whole list of things. And envy, strife, and anger, sexual immorality, all types of things are desires of the flesh that we struggle with. Just to sort of give you a phrase of what we're talking about when we talk about desires of the flesh, I want to call them sinful bodily appetites. So you can fill that in the blank if you want to do that. Sinful bodily appetites. There are appetites, things that we're hungry for. We all know what an appetite is. An appetite is something that arises inside of our body for food or for other things sometimes. And they're normal and they're natural. And so when we're hungry, and some of you are hungry right now, you feel your appetite that it's kind of telling you, yeah, you know, it's almost 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you're already planning out your meal because you want to satisfy that appetite. And so there are plenty of appetites that we have, but some of them are sinful. Some of them are wrong. Some of them will lead to destruction. They'll destroy your life. They'll destroy your family's life. And some of us have experienced the kind of destruction that comes with following those desires of our flesh, of our fallen nature. And if we pursue those things, then they will yield in damage to our lives. Now, these things are located in the flesh, or the body, as we're talking about. And what I'd like to do is just take a few moments and talk to you about how you and I are made up as human beings. Because I think this will give you some tools to be able to know how to think about this. So when we talk about sinful bodily appetites, we're talking about the body. But you are made up as a human being actually of three parts. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Now, I've put this in your notes, and I've put it on the screen here, and I just want to illustrate what I'm talking about, talk about this in a way that will help you understand. So the body, when we think about the body, of course, it's the physical thing that we are encased in, but I just want to tell you, you are not your body. You can exist without a body. We know, I mean, if we believe in Jesus Christ, and even those that don't, we have this sense that, wow, there's something that exists beyond the body. If we were to die, our self could exist. And so you're not your body. You're not equal to this physical stuff that you have around you. You're stuck in it for now, right, until you're free from it. And it talks to you all the time. It talks to you about the world all the time. That's why I put there world conscious. And it talks to you through your five senses. Five senses of hearing, of taste, of touch, of smell, what's the other one? Sight. Yeah, sight. That one's an important one, too. And all the time, the world is talking to you through your five senses. And you cannot go anywhere, you cannot do anything without being acutely aware of the fact that the world is around you. And you turn on the television and it's assaulting sometimes of what you see and what you hear. And so the body is world conscious. It's how you perceive the world. And the appetites that the body have, they're appetites we're all completely familiar with. Where you get hungry, we have physical desires, there's sexual desires, there's all kinds of desires, all kinds of appetites that we have. And you can feed the appetite and it can get... You can develop a larger appetite, or you can starve the appetite, and sometimes it makes the appetite smaller, but there's appetites that you deal with. Now, the second part of you is your soul, and your soul is the I. It's your consciousness. It's you, and it's made up of your, instead of the five senses, it's made up of your mind, that's your intellect, your will, and your emotions, right? How you feel things and what you feel about that, and how you think about things, that's your mind and your intellect. Your mind and your emotions. And then the will is that third part that is vitally important, because really the will is the unique power that God has given you. I think that no other creature on the earth, no other animal has this power of will in the same way that you and I do. God has given you the power of will, that is the power of self-determination, that you can choose what you want to do with your life. You can choose to follow your way, you can choose to follow God's way, you can choose to follow somebody else's way. You can choose so many things because of this unique power of will that God has given you. And God freely gives you this. He says, this is your free will, and you, it's your choice what you're going to do with it. Now, this is, we call the self-consciousness. So whereas the body is world-conscious, this one's self-conscious. You know, it's the I. I'm aware of myself. That great philosophy phrase that we all learned, if you ever went to any kind of intro philosophy course, it was the I think, therefore I am, right? It's that self-consciousness that exists, and that is your soul. The appetite in the soul is an appetite for ideas and for entertainment, right? Some people live in the world of ideas. They love ideas. Some people love to be entertained, and it engages that thinking, that thought process. Now, you also have a spirit. And this spirit is the part of you that communicates with God's spirit. It is the part of you that its job is to commune in fellowship with God. It's the way that God talks to you. If you know Jesus Christ, that spirit has been renewed and that connection with Father God has been reconnected, and you are God conscious because of that through the avenue of your spirit. And the appetite, what it's hungry for, what your spirit is hungry for, is things of the eternal. They're good things. They're it's hope and joy and love and peace and patience and kindness. All the fruits of the Spirit are the things that the Spirit desires, and that's the appetites that they have. Now, in all of these areas of appetites, you can decide by virtue of selecting your will and activating your will where you're going to focus and what you're going to develop. It's governed by the will, but ultimately you decide how I'm going to develop. So, for example, in the body, some people have and not all appetites are bad. Certainly, some appetites are wonderful. But you can decide by focusing on a particular area within your body, you can just develop certain skills and abilities. So, if you think about an orchestra conductor who has developed the sense of hearing, and so he's in front of an orchestra of maybe 30 or 50 instruments, and he can hear just immediately how one, maybe a person is slightly out of tune. One note is off. Something's wrong. And he's immediately aware of that. Why? Because he has developed that ability to hear and tuned it so well that that appetite or that ability has grown to the degree that it's pretty fantastic. If I were to sit in front of that orchestra, I probably would not even be able to hear the fact that somebody is playing one note that's wrong, and yet for him that's a big deal. Or some people have really developed their sense of enjoying food, right? And you know, you can look around and see, you know, which one of us have developed that more than others. No, I've enjoyed that very, very much. But you think of a chef. A chef has developed the ability to taste things and to know how to make them better. And so he or she can taste something, and in a moment they know it needs more salt, it needs a little citrus, it needs this, that. I listen to my wife talk about food, and she says, oh, yeah, something's wrong. And I say something like, I don't know, well, okay. And she goes, yeah, and it needs a little bit of this. And she'll add it, and I'll go, oh, that's wonderful, right? Because she's developed that ability of taste in a way that others haven't. So you can spend time developing each of these. In the soul, some people have really developed their ability of the intellect, and they spend a lot of time thinking big thoughts. Maybe they read a lot, or they have conversations about big ideas, and they have really created an appetite for the things of the intellect. On the other hand, when it comes to the emotions, some people have developed that emotional piece very well. Maybe they just are all about being driven by their emotions. You know, some people, they're drama. Wherever they go is drama. If there's not drama, they create drama. It just comes along with them and is part of who they are. But, you know, you can spend a lot of time. Some people are driven by their emotions because they have developed and focused on their emotions so much. You know, people that are driven by fear, and every decision they make is really, it's based out of fear, it's based out of worry, based out of anxiety. Some people are driven by anger, right? They have focused on that and sort of expanded that. And the same thing with the spirit. You can spend time developing an appetite for the things of the spirit. So just to go back to the body for a second, when we talk about habits and how habits are formed, most of your habits are located within your body. Right, and so when we can talk about addictions or different things that we have developed within our body. Let's just take coffee for example. I like coffee. Okay, anybody like coffee? I once upon a time did not like coffee. Right, and interestingly enough, coffee doesn't taste that great to, you know, someone that oftentimes is 12 or 13 or 14. But I saw everybody else drink coffee and talk about the wonderful things about coffee and how it was going to make me feel great and all this. So I started to drink coffee, and so I used my will to get the cup of coffee and drink the cup of coffee. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I kind of see how it makes you feel a little bit more energized, a little more excited, whatever. And then day after day, I made the decision to get that cup of coffee and to drink that cup of coffee, right? So now when I wake up in the morning, my body tells me, Andrew, you need a cup of coffee. I don't say to myself, oh, I think I need a cup of coffee, right? I guess I'll have a cup of coffee because that sounds like a good thing. No, I wake up in the morning, my body says, get some coffee now, right? Or there's going to be there's going to be trouble. Why? Because I have created now a habit or a pattern within me, within my body. And once upon a time, it was something that I decided, right? And I chose. And maybe the first 5 cups, 10 cups, 15 cups, 20 cups, whatever it would be. At some point, I hit the point where it was no longer me deciding as much as it was now my body was demanding. And you understand the difference. We all understand the difference when it comes to addiction. There's all things in our life where it's like we choose up to a point, but now I don't any longer have the ability to not choose. Now, I mean, I sort of do, but have you ever tried not to have a cup of coffee, if that's your deal, right? Like, it's not that fun, right? And now, you know, and you find, man, I really would, and then you find yourself thinking about it, right? Oh, that would be so good to have that coffee right now. And because your body is talking to you, because you have developed within it a need or an appetite for that thing and that you have formed. Old Spanish proverb says, habits are cobwebs until they become cables, right? And once upon a time, you could sort of just decide, but after a repeated decision, it's no longer something you just decide anymore. And you lose the capacity of self-will in the same way as you had before because you have repeatedly given your will over to that thing. Now that can apply to so many different things, right, guys? I mean, coffee is sort of, we think of that, that's a legal Christian drug, but there's lots of other stuff out there, right, that is not so good, that the flesh really likes and really desires, and we know, man, if I do this, yeah, I can choose to do it, but after a while, if you keep choosing to do it, there comes a day when it's no longer your choice anymore, and it's chosen for you, and your body begins to dictate what it is that you're doing. Galatians says, whoever sows to the flesh, to please the flesh, then will reap destruction. So, when you sow seed in the ground, you're going to get the kind of seed that you sow in the ground. You sow rice, you're going to get rice. You sow corn, you're going to get corn, right? And so it says, hey, if you sow to your flesh, to your bodily appetites, then what's going to come back for you is more bodily appetites, right? And so you will find if you're not careful, then you have given yourself over to the flesh. So by your will, you'd have decided, or you decide, which of your parts are going to be in direction of your life, in control of your life. And so I ordered these things this way, body, soul, and spirit, because your soul really is the center, and it's through your soul that the body talks to you. The body talks to you through your senses, but they are perceived by your soul, by your consciousness. Same thing with your spirit. When God talks to you, if you know Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is inside of you, when God talks to you, you are perceiving that through your spirit. Somebody says, I heard God's voice. Well, they didn't hear it over here with, like, their ears, right? Or I felt God's presence. And you're like, well, you didn't like feel it with your fingers. What do those things mean? Well, they're a perception that comes through the spirit that's communicating to your soul, right? And so you can develop the ability of hearing God's voice over time by learning what his voice sounds like and feeding yourself the word of God so that you understand who he is and how he's going to talk and beginning to pay attention to his still small voice. And again, we talk about it as a voice, but it's not something we hear. It's almost something you sense, right? You sense it. We talk about it like in your heart, or I sense it somehow inside. And as you develop that ability more and more and more, then you become really able to hear God's voice. Some of you are so able to hear God's voice. I just go, man, I would really like to be able to hear God's voice that way. And I realize, well, it's because I haven't developed that gift to the degree that I need to develop it. And so it takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort, and takes decision of the will to engage in that way so that it becomes part of who you are. Now we have to choose which part is in control. So if we have a body and we have a soul and a spirit, we can choose which way they're going to be ordered in our daily life. And so we can put the body at the top, and by virtue of our will, we say, okay, my body's going to run things, and so I'm going to be run by my feet, by my stuff I want that makes me feel good, the pleasures of this world. And we know people that are sort of pleasure-driven, adrenaline-driven, or they're driven by these types of things. Or you can choose to be driven by your soul and think about intellectual ideas and think about those types of things and be emotionally driven. Or you can choose to be driven by the Spirit and put the Spirit in control of your being. And when you put the Spirit in control of your being, of course, that's the best, that's the highest. Because when your spirit is in communion with God's Spirit and is listening to Him and you're being obedient to Him, then suddenly you find there is a flow of life. And Jesus says, I came to give life and life more abundant. And so if you're living out of your spirit, then you find, oh, the words that I speak are suddenly a little bit more kind. They're life-giving rather than they're death-giving, right? Oftentimes we speak words that are not so nice, and they actually destroy rather than bring healing and comfort and health to people because we're living out of our flesh rather than living out of our spirit. So we have to decide how we're going to order things in our world, and we can choose to cooperate with God's Spirit, and by cooperating with Him, then He begins to create a life flow that's working through us, and it begins to change our very nature, right? And so it begins to change who we are on the inside in a way that is just a beautiful thing, right? And so as He changes those things, as you pursue the things of the Spirit, the things that are higher, the things that are beautiful and wonderful, the things that God says versus the things that your flesh wants or that you want as an individual, then suddenly those other appetites that are part of the body and that are part of the soul that are sinful, right, that are actually not right, that are opposed to God, that are against what He wants you to do, those things begin to become, they don't cry out quite as much as they did before, right? And so it's like if you have stopped drinking coffee, it doesn't scream at you like it used to scream at you once upon a time. Why? Because you have walked away from it habitually. It doesn't mean you couldn't recreate that inside of you. It doesn't mean it never speaks to you. But that appetite has been sort of suppressed, and it has become less and less diminished, so that because you have been pursuing something that is better. So as you choose your spirit and as you choose to live out of your spirit, then we see what Romans 8:5 says begin to happen in your life. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. So it's a process of setting your mind in the right place and choosing what God wants. And as we choose what He wants, He gives us the ability to walk in His way, right? So it's not just an act of will where you say, oh, I'm going to do the right thing. And that's oftentimes where we get it wrong. When it comes to the desires of the body, oftentimes what we're saying is like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to, and we just say, I'm trying not to do it. Get it away from me, right? And we just resist. But in actuality, our will is oftentimes very weak, right? We oftentimes end up doing exactly the thing that we didn't want to do to begin with, that very thing that we were trying to resist. And the way out of that cycle is that we have to engage our will in the right way. We have to engage our will with God. And basically what we're choosing is we're saying, now, God, I'm going to exercise my will to grab a hold of You so that You can enable me to do and say and be the kind of person that I want to. So it's not just I'm choosing to be a good person. No, it's I'm choosing to become more like You, Jesus, by Your power, trusting that You are enough for me, trusting that Your grace is sufficient for me. So I'm reaching out, I'm grabbing a hold of You, and I'm thinking Your thoughts by faith that You're going to give me the strength. Am I going to say no to those things? Absolutely. But I'm not going to do them out of my strength. I'm going to do them out of the strength that You have given me by faith, right? I'm grabbing a hold of that. So how does this come to play in terms of actually winning victory over the flesh? Well, let me just give you a couple of steps here at the next few moments, and then I want to pray for you about winning the victory daily in our life over the flesh. So the very first thing, first process that we need to do is we need to renew. We need to renew. And all these are with R's, and they just happen to work there, so there you go. Renew. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Listen, you need to be renewed. Your spirit, when we talked about body, soul, and spirit, your spirit If you know Christ, your spirit has been renewed, because when Adam and Eve sinned and they fell, basically the connection that your spirit had with God at that point was broken, the capacity that it had. It doesn't mean you don't have a spirit. It just means that your spirit was kind of corrupted and broken, and it needed to come alive once again to its ability to communicate with our Father in heaven. And so when you become a believer in Christ and you say, Lord, would you take the leadership of my life? Would you drive my life, take the keys to my car? Then what he does is he sends his Holy Spirit inside of us, and it makes us into a new creature. It actually regenerates our spirit, and now we're able to hear from him. And we can, when we read his word, suddenly it becomes alive to us, when formerly all those things were dead to us. It says actually those that don't know Christ, that many times the things of Christ are foolishness. Why? Because the natural mind of man, that is the one that has not been regenerated and renewed by his spirit, that the natural mind is in opposition to the things of God. It doesn't understand it. They even seem like they're foolishness to him. So you remember one time, if you know Christ today, before he was like, man, this, I don't know about that God stuff. I don't like what they're talking about. I think that's crazy. I'm not even into it. But now suddenly you've come to a different place where you said, Jesus, would you take the wheel? And now it's all like, wow, this, I now see that God's talking to me, and I see what the scripture means, and you have a new life that's happening inside of you because you have been renewed. You have been renewed. So if you're here this morning and you never have made that decision, you've never invited Christ into your heart, the very first thing you need to do is you need to be renewed in that way and say, Lord, you know, I've chosen my way, but I want to choose your way. I don't want to be dead anymore. I want to be alive. I want to have my connection with you so I can communicate with you. And you need to be renewed in that way. But if you're a believer and you've been here, you know, 10 times, 10,000 times, whatever it is, you have a walk with Christ, you need to be renewed too. You need to be renewed every single day. There's a process of degeneration that happens by living in this world, that we have to keep bringing ourselves back under the operation of the Holy Spirit. And so there's areas in our lives, areas in our hearts, areas in our thoughts, in our minds, where we go, man, God, you got to renew me one more time. You got to give me my passion back for you. I just so desire that you would renew me from the inside out. That's the very first thing we have to do is we have to be renewed. And the second thing we have to do, and this goes right along with it, is we have to repent. And some would say repentance comes first, renewal comes second. And, you know, whichever way you want to take the order, that's okay. But repentance is agreeing with God that the activities that you have been engaged with are wrong, are sinful, asking him for forgiveness, receiving that forgiveness, and then changing your direction. Let me just read the verse to you here. Acts 3:19 says, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So if you want to be renewed, you want to be refreshed, you have to repent. You have to say, Lord, I agree with you. The things that I've been involved with are wrong. They're sinful. It's something that your word says is not good. It's something even that I've heard your voice to me saying I shouldn't go there, shouldn't do that, shouldn't be about those things, and yet I didn't listen to you. Forgive me, God. Forgive me for doing those things. Would you please wash me clean? I receive your forgiveness, but now, Lord, I'm going to choose a different way. And that's really what full repentance is. Sometimes we feel bad for sin. It's like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, Lord, you told me I shouldn't do that. I knew I shouldn't do that. We feel bad. Would you forgive me, Lord? Sure, and he forgives you, but then you don't actually do anything different. So you're not really repenting, right? You're just feeling guilty, and you feel like, oh, I need to be cleaned, but you're not willing to actually take the next step and do something about it. And that really is the next step, which is remove. So it's not enough just to ask for forgiveness, but we have to actually take those things out of our life that are causing us to continually stumble and walk in a way that we shouldn't walk. My dad, who was a pastor, I remember when I was a teenager that there would be times when guys would drive up and they would open their trunk, and in their trunk was their porn collection. And they would take it, my dad would take it, and he'd throw it in a barrel, and he would burn it. And he said, you know, Andrew, I've never, I'm always surprised at how difficult it is to burn that stuff. You have to spray the kerosene on it, and I mean, it just would not burn very easily. But these guys had made the decision that they were no longer going to pursue that lifestyle. They were no longer going to pursue that thing. Why? Because God said that's not good for them. That's corrosive. It's sinful. It's bad. And so they not only felt guilty about it, not only asked for forgiveness, but they said, no, I've got to take it out of my life. I've got to do something here so that it eliminates this from my very lifestyle. And so sometimes we have to burn stuff. Or we have to cancel stuff, or we have to break off relationships, right? We have to do some things in our life. It's not enough to say, oh, God, would you deliver me? No. God says, okay, absolutely, I'll deliver you, but maybe you need to cancel Skinamax and you know, so that it's not coming into your house. I mean, there's a reason I don't have it, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'm doing really good, but every once in a while, like, did I really see that? Let me just check, just to make sure. So you get it out. You say, no, I'm not gonna have it around. I'm gonna get it out of my life. I'm gonna change some of the things that I'm engaged in. I'm gonna remove it. And when you remove it, then it starts to remove the power, because it's gonna call to you sooner or later, right? And so it's one thing to say you're sorry, and it's one thing to walk clean, but after a while it starts to call you again. We all have that experience. You start getting low, you start getting depressed, something bad happens in your life, and all of a sudden you're right back in the same old stuff that you swore you'd never get back into again, because you didn't really get it out. It's so easy for me not to watch bad stuff if I don't have it on the TV. I mean, it's incredible, right? So you have to remove it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You ain't special, right? That temptation you're dealing with, everybody else deals with those things too. It's all common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can endure it. The key is, you gotta run. You gotta get out. You gotta change it, right? You gotta get rid of it. And so many times we say, oh God, rescue me, but you just stand there. No. Last thing we have to do is we have to replace. It's not enough just to get rid of something, but we have to develop new patterns and new habits in our life. Nature hates a vacuum, right? If you have a vacuum, you create a vacuum in the laboratory or anywhere else, as soon as there's opportunity, the air is going to rush into the atmosphere, seeks to rush in. Nature hates a vacuum. You can't just take something out and expect that it's just going to be hunky-dory. No, oftentimes, that is the worst strategy that you can have. Yeah, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to get that out of my life. But then you don't actually do anything to replace that very thing that has been a stumbling block to you. And because you haven't done anything to replace it, you have this big void that's there, this big vacuum that's there, and it just sucks you right back into that situation and that sin that you didn't want to do to begin with. And so you have to replace it. You have to begin to cooperate with the Spirit and His power. You have to begin to build new patterns into your life. That's why David says in the Psalms, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, so I will not sin against you." Right? So David says, all right, I don't want to sin anymore. I know it's not good. I'm gonna step away from it, but now I have to replace that void there with something else. I'm going to start putting God's word, I'm going to start memorizing God's word and putting it inside of me, so that then when the temptation comes, I have some tools and some resources that I can draw on. And so many times we hit the temptation and we don't have any tools and resources because we haven't hidden any of His word in our heart. We haven't eaten it enough. We haven't fed on it enough. And so we haven't built any other patterns in our life, right? It's not enough just to break off relationships with those that are unhealthy and wrong, and some of you are in relationships, you just need to get out of those relationships. But you better find some other relationships that are healthy and strong, that are with believers that can encourage you and that can keep you on the right track, right? You have to replace it with something else. Some of you can get rid of stuff out of your life, but then you need to go to someone and you need to actually talk with them about that thing you're struggling with and tell them what you did. I got rid of it. And ask them, would you please keep me accountable? Would you help me? Would you encourage me? Would you ask me every once in a while how I'm doing? So we replace it with something positive. We begin to develop our spiritual sensibility. We begin to develop our spiritual ability to hear God's voice by replacing our other behaviors with behaviors that honor God and the behaviors, the kind of things that He wants. And ultimately, it's about being able to discern what are the good stuff? What's the good stuff that God wants me to do? How does He want me to live my life in a way that is beautiful and wonderful and beneficial? And as we do this, then we become a different kind of person. And those other things begin to fade away. So we renew, we repent, we remove, and we replace. Okay? Simple enough. Simple enough. All right, I'm going to pray with you. And we have a few minutes left in the service this morning, and so I don't want you just to run out the door. But what I would really desire is that that we would take a few moments and that you would seek the Lord. So I'm going to have you just stand to your feet. And I want to encourage you, first of all, to take a few moments between you and the Lord and just begin to renew your desire for Him, renew your commitment to Him. Just begin to ask Him, God, would you just begin to refresh those areas inside of me that have been maybe they've lost their sensitivity to you. I've been dead in these areas, and Lord, I've been pursuing some other things. I've been distracted. I've forgotten, or for whatever. And just begin to just talk to Him, and ask Him, Lord, would you breathe on me once again? Would you breathe on me once again? Would you talk to me once again? Just go ahead and do it right now. Go ahead and close your eyes, everybody around. I'm just between you and God. It's not between you and me, but you just begin to talk to Him. God, would you please refresh us? Would you please renew us? Would you take even those parts of us that have been dead and have been resistant, those parts of us, Lord Jesus, that maybe we've even given up on, and would you just breathe once again on us? Renew us from the inside out. Awaken our spirits, Lord Jesus. Make them alive to you. And some of you, even the Lord's talking to you about things you need to repent for at this time. Things came to your mind as I was speaking, or even right now, areas where you have willfully chosen to pursue things that you wanted versus the things that He wanted. You did things or went places or looked at things, and you need to say you're sorry for it. And you need to say, Lord, that was sin, and you told me not to do that, and I know it's wrong. And would you please just forgive me for that? Would you please wash me clean, God? Some of you need to do that business. The altar is open here, the steps are open. You might just need to come down and bow before God, and then this is something that you want to be serious about, and you're just saying, Lord, would you please wash me? Would you please wash me? Would you those areas, God, that I have been so broken in? Just receive your forgiveness for that, Lord Jesus. Receive your forgiveness for that. You might be here this morning, and we're talking about these areas, talking about being alive to Christ, talking about being alive to His Spirit, and you've never made that decision you've never actually said, God, would you please come into my heart? Would you please wash me of my sin? I've chosen my own way, but I'm going to choose your way. And when we talked about just that spirit being regenerated and being able to hear God's voice and being sensitive to the things of the Lord, you know that that's been missing from your life. And you came in this morning and you just, gosh, man, you need to do something different. You need to cross the line. I just want to give you that opportunity. For you, it's renewing for the first time. It's being renewed and saying, Lord, would you take the wheel? And if that's you this morning, I just want to pray with you. We'll pray together. But it just starts with you saying to the Lord, God, would you come into my heart? And if that's you, just raise your hand. You might even just raise both hands. And you're making that decision where you're saying, today I'm crossing the line. Oh, gosh, I see those hands. And if you would, church, let's just all pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I need to be renewed. I need your Spirit. I've chosen my way. I want your way. I need your way. God, would you come into my heart? Would you wash me clean? Would you make me new? In Jesus' name.